Yeah, Sarah said earlier when she was talking about the postcards that every little letter is important. And the book of Philemon is one of the little letters in the New Testament. It's not the shortest one by any means, but it is certainly one of the shortest. And the book of Philemon, sometimes it's a difficult one to find, but it's just before the book of Hebrews and just after the book of Titus. And to help you a bit further, it's page number 1200. 1200. And it was Paul's letter to Philemon and also to Appia and Archippus and to the church that met in their home. So we'll read the whole letter. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Appia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, and my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And may God bless to us the reading of his own holy and inspired word.
Thank you very much, Peter, for reading the letter for us. So the letter of Philemon. And we're going to find out what was actually happening when Paul wrote this letter. So here's Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave. And every day Onesimus had to work really hard for his very rich owner, Philemon. Philemon was a wealthy man. He had a very big house and he lived in Colossae. The church met in his house, so there was room for everybody. And as all rich people in those days did, he had slaves. Slightly different to the idea of a slave that we had, In the Roman Empire, there were many, many slaves. Some of them were doctors, lawyers, teachers. Some of them would look after the children of the family. Some of them, maybe like Onesimus, had to do lots of different jobs. So Philemon would have a big garden. And every day, Onesimus would have to do work in the garden. He was a slave, which meant he couldn't go free. He couldn't leave Philemon's house. And sometimes when he was working, he'd think to himself, this really isn't fair. How come Philemon's the boss and I'm the slave? I've got to do all these jobs for him every day of my life. He's working in the garden again. Sometimes he had to do painting. Sometimes he was sweeping. And each day he thought, all I can do is what Philemon tells me to do. I'm not free. I don't like this life, just being told what to do. And then one day he thought, I've had enough of this. I'm going to escape from Philemon's house. This was a very dangerous thing to do, because if a slave ran away, they could be put in prison, or even worse, there could be the death penalty. But Onesimus started to plan. Philemon was a Christian and the church came to his house, so sometimes there were lots of people in the house and in the garden. And Onesimus thought that's a great time to slip away. So one day when the church were meeting, Onesimus made a run for it. And of course he needed some money for his journey. And so he knew where Philemon kept his money and he stole some of the money. So he's a runaway slave and he ran night and day to get to the harbour. When he got there, he was so relieved to see there were quite a few ships there. And he thought, if I can just get on a ship, I can get right away from Colossae. Nobody will ever find me and I'll be free. So he spoke to the captain of the ship and he said to him, where are you sailing to? And the captain said, we're going to Rome. And so Onesimus thought, great, that's miles away from Colossae. It's a great big city, like London. I can get lost in the crowds. And so he said, I've got some money I can pay to go on your boat. And he jumped onto the boat. All the way there he wondered to himself, what will Rome be like when I get there? He doesn't look very happy, does he? Because he's feeling quite guilty. Who paid for his ticket on the boat? Where did the money come from? You remember who he stole it from? From his boss, from Philemon. So he's starting to feel a little bit guilty. But then he's thinking, well, at least I'm away. I'm going to be a free man. And as they got closer and closer, he was looking to see, where's land? When can I see Italy? And it took a couple of weeks to sail to Italy. But there he could suddenly see land and buildings, and very soon Onesimus was in Rome, where nobody knew him. Nobody knew that he was a runaway slave. And he used the money that he'd stolen from Philemon. But of course, Onesimus didn't have a job. And he couldn't really get a job, apart from being a slave again. And he thought, there's no way I'm going to be a slave. And he soon ran out of money, and he couldn't pay for his food. But he'd met a few people, and they said to him, go and visit our friend Paul. He's a great person, and he will help you. So Onesimus thought, well, it's worth a try. Haven't got any money. Don't know what to do. I'll go and visit Paul. When he got to the house, he thought, well, that's very strange because there's a soldier standing outside the door. And he went up to the soldier and he said to him, I'd like to visit Paul, if that's okay. And the soldier said, you may come in. So in Onesimus went. And when he went in, he saw Paul, an older man, and he'd got chains on. He was a prisoner, and he was chained next to a Roman soldier. Paul welcomed him in, and he said, I'm so pleased to see you, Onesimus. You can join in when my other friends come, and we'll have good times together. And Onesimus thought, how can this man be happy when he's chained up? He's not allowed to leave the house. I wonder what the secret is. And one day, Paul said to his friends and to somebody who was listening, Onesimus, I'm in chains because I've been telling everybody about the Lord Jesus and how the Lord Jesus died on the cross to set us free from a guilty conscience, from guilt, from sin, and from eternal death. And Onesimus thought, that sounds wonderful, because inside, this is what I feel like. I feel as though there are chains around my heart. Even although I've run away and I thought I would feel free, I don't feel free. Because I feel really bad now about the money that I stole from Philemon. Actually, he was a really good boss. And he was very kind to us. And he made sure that we had somewhere good to sleep. He gave us plenty of food every day. And actually, he did look after us quite well. But I just wanted to do things my way. We can understand that, can't we? But here's Paul saying, you can be free from your guilt and from your sin. And sin is the wrong things we do. And Onesimus thought, how can that be? And then Paul carried on talking. And he started talking about Jesus. And he said, when Jesus went to the cross, he said, if I set you free, you'll definitely be free. And you'll be free for the rest of your life and forever and ever. And the reason why is because when I went to the cross, Jesus said, I died in your place. If we do something wrong, do you think we should be punished for it? Would it be fair if we weren't punished? Or if somebody does something wrong to us, maybe if somebody hits us or takes something that belongs to us or breaks something that's really special to us, would it be fair if mum and dad said to them, well, we really love you, so it doesn't matter that you've done that to your brother or your sister's toy. Never mind, we'll forget about it. Would you feel that was fair? I wouldn't feel that was fair. Not fair at all, is it? If we do something wrong, we need to be punished. And because we all do wrong things and God is holy, which means God is absolutely perfect, God says, because God is the fairest one ever, he says, we must be punished. But then also, God is love, and God loves us. And so God found a way to make it possible for us to know him and to have our sins, our wrong things forgiven. And he said to the Lord Jesus, I'm sending you to die in their place. Do you remember in the quiz we said Paul wrote, the wages of sin is death. Wages are something we earn, and that's what every human being earns. The wages of sin is death. And that death means forever away from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. And so Onesimus prayed and he said, thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking my punishment. And there's no punishment left for me. I can't believe it. But I accept what you've done and I want you to come and live in my heart. Do you remember our song? We reached out for Jesus and we put him in our heart. And that's what Onesimus did. And then he thought, I know Jesus now. I can pray to God and God will be with me every day of my life. And Onesimus decided, I'll look after Paul because he needs help being chained up in the house, and I'll do everything I can to help him. But one day when he was walking, he thought, well, I've made everything right with God. He's forgiven me. But there's that money that I stole from Philemon. And I wonder what Philemon thinks about me. He's probably very angry with me because I ran away and he's lost a slave. So I'm not there doing the work. So he spoke to Paul about it. And Paul said, well, I would love you to stay here with me, Onesimus, because I love you dearly, just like a son. But I know you do need to go back to Philemon and you need to say to him, forgive me, I'm sorry. And Paul sent Onesimus and another friend called Tychicus with Onesimus back to Colossae. When they left, Paul was upset because he really loved Onesimus. He didn't really want to let him go, but he knew it was right to do it. He gave Onesimus a letter to take to Philemon, and the letter that Paul wrote is the letter that Peter read for us. So once again, Onesimus is on a boat, but he's going in the other direction, away from Italy, away from Rome, and he's going back to Colossae. As he got nearer, he started to worry. What will Philemon do when I get back? He could throw me into prison, and that would be fair. I ran away, and I stole money from him. I wonder what he'll do. Then he saw land, and he started to get even more worried. When they got to Colossae, you can imagine as they knocked the door, I think Onesimus' heart would be hammering, and maybe his knees would be knocking. And then Philemon opened the door. Imagine how shocked he was. There was his runaway slave. It was unbelievable that a runaway slave would come back, because he would know the punishment's going to be very severe. Onesimus handed him the letter straight away, and then he waited. Philemon took the letter, and he started to read. I can imagine Onesimus holding his breath. And he carried on reading and reading. And then Philemon went, oh! And Onesimus thought, oh no, what did Paul write in the letter? What's going to happen to me? This is what Philemon got such a shock about. Paul wrote, receive Onesimus as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay the debt. And then he signed it from Paul. Receive him as you would me. Paul was a great missionary and a great preacher. And he'd worked with Philemon in the gospel. They both told people about Jesus. And so Philemon really loved Paul. And here he's saying to him, receive my runaway slave. Receive the thief back just as you would me. Love him as much as you love me. And then if he's done anything wrong and owes you money, he can't pay it back. He's got no money. I'll pay it back for him. And Philemon read that out to Onesimus. And Onesimus thought, that's just what Jesus did for me. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, anybody who accepts me as Saviour, Father God, receive them just like you receive me and love them just like you love me. And then he said, anything that they're in debt to you, the wrong things that they've done, charge it to me and I'll pay the debt. I'll be punished for them. Philemon knew Jesus as Saviour and he accepted Onesimus back. And you can imagine what rejoicing there would be in the house. So there was a long journey there with a letter. Paul wrote a letter. And you can see the long journey. Can you see Colossae underneath Galatia on the right? And then right across to Italy, to Rome. What a long journey with a letter. And then to find he was forgiven. There's another long journey in the Bible with a letter. The Lord Jesus has always existed in heaven as God, with God. But God so loved the world that he sent Jesus into our world. And John the disciple writes about this. And he said, in the beginning was the Word. Letters are full of words, aren't they? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And reading through the Bible, we quickly discover the Word is Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. A long journey with a letter, the Word, Jesus Christ. And Paul says in another letter that if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old life has gone and the new is here. And all of this is from God. I can't earn acceptance with God. There's no good work that I can do to earn it. I can't pay anything because I can't pay with money to be accepted by God. But God and the Lord Jesus have done it all. And they've reconciled us to God. Because Jesus died on the cross, we can be reconciled to God. At the bottom it says, God made him, the Lord Jesus, who had no sin. Because Jesus is God, he's perfect. He made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And when we come to the cross and we say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying in my place. Thank you for taking my punishment. God puts Jesus' righteousness on us and receives us as the Lord Jesus. So in our letter, we can see Onesimus the slave is like you and me. We can think we're free, but we're not free until we know true freedom that God has planned for us. Paul was the mediator, the go-between. The Lord Jesus is our mediator. Philemon was the boss, and he's like God, our creator, God, our Father. And Jesus made a way. In one of his letters, Paul says, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The alternative is unthinkable. And if you read in the Bible, the alternative to knowing the Lord Jesus as Saviour, it's eternal separation from God. There will be a day where we all stand before God, and God will say, you accepted the Lord Jesus, my Son, my precious Son, as your Saviour. Welcome. If we don't do that, holy God cannot accept sin, and he can't stand sin. And sadly, he will say, you have to go away. And that's not just for a day, that's forever. And so we implore you, on Christ's behalf, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as Saviour, be reconciled to God. There's a wonderful old hymn that we're going to finish with, and it's, O Lord, my God. And if you know the Lord Jesus as Saviour, we can sing, O Lord, my God, and we can lift our voices in praise. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as Saviour, just now, just pray, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for me. Thank you for taking my punishment. Please come into my heart, and I will live the rest of my life for you. And I can tell you this, you'll never ever regret it. Doesn't mean life is plain sailing with no problems, but it does mean God is with you every step of the way. So let's lift our voices and sing, O Lord, my God.